All right. I'll be darned. They did get my webcam up there. And sure enough, there's our beautiful little Asia. And this was taken, four or five days ago. Actually, it says October 21st, so I guess that's correct. 21st, be about 5 days ago. And there she is. And she's doing incredibly well. She is the happiest child the world has ever seen. So if you look in the middle of the coasttocoastam.com website, up at the top, there is indeed a photograph of our beautiful Asia there. She's really unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. I'll say this, at my age, I thought, boy, am I crazy or what, to have a child. But not a chance. I have been enjoying Asia more than I could ever possibly articulate on this program. My God, it's been fun. Anyway, what we're about to do is Octoberish. It's Halloweenish. It's something we do all year long, actually, and it's been way too long since I've had an opportunity to do it. Let me just read the normal introduction. Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth are both members of the Ghost Investigators Society, the GIS. The Ghost Investigators Society, GIS, is a nonprofit organization. Emphasize, nonprofit. Dedicated to the investigation of ghosts. Not only do they conduct investigations, but they also instruct, assist, and educate anyone who believes they may be experiencing ghostly phenomena or those who are just simply curious, all in an effort to educate the public about ghosts. The GIS hopes the EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, presented will demonstrate that the consciousness, our consciousness, indeed survives after the body dies, and that these voices may help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. Now, here's what I want to say, and it echoes what I've said in years past. And the reason I've had these folks on again and again is I think fairly, it will be self-evident as you hear what you're about to hear. They originally, years ago, took audio tape, common audio tape, always brand new, with the wrapper still on it, took the tape out, put it in a machine, went to various places like cemeteries and museums and, you know, places where one might expect to find a ghost. And they would record hours and hours and hours of blank tape, always in the hope of recording the voice of a ghost, for lack of a better word. And we've discussed what else it might be. But over the years, several things have become clear to me. This is not baloney. This is not a hoax. This is not a radio station somehow interfering with the tape. They've gone digital recording in the last few years, and it seems to work as well or even better because the signal-to-noise ratio is much better. A lot of times you're listening for a very small signal in a lot of noise, and so obviously the digital recording methods are a lot better. But, I mean, these are folks who are not selling a book. They're not peddling anything. They're not making any money. In fact, it costs them money to do it. This is more of a hobby than it is any sort of money-making. In fact, there's nothing. So it gives them a great deal of credibility in my mind. And also that which they have recorded gives them a great deal of credibility. A lot of times they cannot explain the meaning of what they have recorded. Nor do they many times even make an attempt. They might offer a possible explanation, but what you're going to hear is, for the most part, up to you to try and decipher. So that said, I believe firmly that what you're going to hear tonight demonstrates that indeed consciousness does survive the death, the physical death of the human body. So in a moment, the GIS. Ah, yes. By the way, everybody, one more time. I'm going to do Halloween, ghost to ghost, we call it. And we're going to do open line, ghost to ghost. However, I would encourage you to sort of rehearse your story, the telling of it. It helps a lot, really. Or take a piece of paper and jot down the relevant bullet points for your story so that when you get on the air to tell it, you tell it well. And then, one more thing. If you would like to send me an email, I will be reading various ghost stories during the evening, sent in by all of you. How do you do it? Simply send it to artbell@mindspring.com. That's ARTBELL, all strung together, at mindspring.com, or artbell@AOL.com. So if you have a good ghost story, string it together, email it to me, and if it's a good one, I will read it on the air. Otherwise, last year we did screened ghost stories. This year, we'll just cut all the strings and do unscreened ghost stories. So I would suggest you sort of prepare. And while we're on the subject of ghosts, back to EVP, I would like to welcome my guests, Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning. You're both here.
We're both here.
Okay. It has been, when did we do the last show?
I think it's been about a year.
About a year. That long, huh?
It's been a while.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you both back. How have you, I guess there was a death in the family?
Yeah. Yeah. My sister-in-law.
I'm so sorry.
Well, thank you.
We had almost had a show set up, and then that occurred, and I am sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
He's also had a birth.
The cycle of life, huh?
Yes.
What we're going to hear tonight is going to be sort of, I guess, a compilation of a few new things and some of the best of the last, couple of years, several years?
Yeah, I'm actually excited for these voices tonight. This goes back into our archives, and some of the, I would say, even creepiest voices, even though I don't really get creeped out by them.
I do. I really do. I totally get creeped out by these, and I think the reason is that I believe it. In other words, I believe what I'm hearing. A lot of what's on coast, you know, you've got to take it sort of, well, frankly, with a grain of salt. These EVPs over the years have been the creepiest things that I think I've ever done.
Oh.
They really are creepy.
Don't think we should be flattered by that?
I'm not sure. They actually creep you out a little bit?
No.
I'll be honest. The kids, I mean, we've talked about this before, and
yes.
Of course we'll get into it tonight, but on an emotional level, the kids' voices really, I don't know if it so much creep me out as it just makes me sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know,
yes.
How can these kids be saying the things that they're saying? And, you know, it's hard to listen to at times.
We're just about to get Asia baptized. And in the process of getting your child baptized, you have to go, you know, it's a Catholic baptism, of course.
Yep.
And you have to go to a little sort of a seminar where they explain about baptism.
Uh-huh.
And one of the first things the priest said when we went to the seminars about a week ago was that it's widely thought, there is a myth, a key word, myth, that it's widely thought that if a child, an infant, is not baptized and it dies, it goes to hell. And he said that is firmly, the Catholic priest said, that's firmly a myth. It simply is not true.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
For whatever that's worth, I thought I'd throw it in because it's widely believed. I was one of the ones who believed that that was the belief.
Yeah, and, ironically enough, we're actually going through the exact same process, and we've heard the same thing. It's just really tough.
I didn't say anything during the seminar. I thought, you know, I don't want to sound like an idiot, but I felt like saying, you know, I always have believed that. And I think went on the air and said, look, how could it be? How could a just God send the soul of an infant to hell simply because it didn't get blessed and tossed water on the head and all the rest of it? So I hope everybody else hearing that knows that now. It does not go to hell. All right. You guys don't make any money doing this, right?
No. It's very costly to do this.
You've been doing it since when?
Oh, God.
At least 10 years that we've been together.
Yeah.
What would you two call it? Is it a hobby?
No, it's not a hobby to me.
What is it?
It's trying to gain knowledge.
about your own...
Find out how this supernatural world works.
Is it about your own future? In other words, you want to know where you're going, what your future is after the... After all, we're only here for a very short time.
Yes, we are here for a short time, but I have a very inquisitive mind, and I'm very curious about the supernatural world. I know that there are laws that govern it, but we don't understand those laws yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of hope that some of our research will help lead to understanding about it.
Well, I do too. All right, we're about to jump into the world of EVP, but just for the audience that is fairly new to it, EVP, electronic voice phenomena, has been actually going on since about when?
It's basically since you could actually record. Ever since there was a recording medium, there has been reports of voices appearing on, you know, tape, vinyl, whatever it is they're recording on.
Mm-hmm.
People throughout the years have studied this. Even, you know, I believe I mentioned this before, the Catholic Church, they kind of found it by accident. A priest was actually recording Gregorian chants and started hearing voices. And he actually brought it to the Pope at the time and said, I've recorded these voices, and one of them sounds like my father who's passed on. And, you know, the Pope actually said that this is nothing you should be scared about. This is, you know, it's basically of God.
So the Pope actually had something to say about EVP.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you can Google that. I cannot remember which Pope it was. This would have been 1930, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's something I hadn't heard. The Catholic Church has a position. If a pope says something, that is basically a position, I guess.
Correct, correct.
All right. Now, just so the audience knows, you, at the beginning of all this, you used tape recorders and always blank, brand-new tapes, correct? And several years ago, I had been suggesting it, and you finally made the move to digital recording, and now you do a little bit of both. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I don't even know that we use the analog as much anymore at all. I can't even recall the last time I touched an analog recorder.
But... Yeah, and mine broke, so I can't use the analog at all now.
But now we've even gone into...
recording right to the computer.
And condenser mics and mixers and all that, so.
All right, so that's improved the quality of the EVP substantially,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. And actually, tonight, you'll hear the difference in quality because we do have things from years back, so it is analog, and we have condenser mic stuff, which, I mean, the difference is just night and day.
All right, and for the doubters out there, I would like to say that over the years, I have suggested to the audience, if you don't believe this, take a device, take a microphone, go to the cemetery or area of your choice, and spend a few hours doing it, and inevitably, they have, and I always get these emails back, you two, saying, oh my God, I tried it, and I've got one, and they'll send it along to me.
Yep. Yeah.
So people who are doubters find out very quickly that this is real. Now, other people will say, isn't it possible that it would be a radio station somehow getting picked up in the circuitry or whatever, and that's what you're hearing? And what traditionally has been your response to that?
There, you know, originally, I was a skeptic. I didn't believe this. I thought, there is just no way. There's no way you're going to go to a cemetery at 1 o'clock in the morning, basically start talking to yourself, and expect to hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
And until I got that first voice, I was like... you know, there's just no way. But when I heard the first voice, I mean, it's almost life-changing because all of a sudden you're like, well, there is something. There's, you know, whether it's a ghost or whatever, there's something there. And, you know, then again, being very rational about it, I was trying to figure out, well, what could it be? Could it be radio transmission? Could it be, you know, we've heard baby monitors because we pick up kids' voices. It could
right.
be baby monitors. The problem with that is when you start getting the contemporary information, you start getting voices that respond to you or what's going on at the time, you know, the odds of that being a skip transmission or anything like that, it's just, I don't buy it.
Extremely low. I don't buy it either. I think that what you're getting is absolutely legitimate. I've never quite figured out what it means about life after death. I think it does confirm that there is some continuation of consciousness after death. It does confirm that, but it doesn't so much confirm the nature of it. Would you two say you have kind of figured it out?
No, I haven't, definitely.
My theory is that these are people that are either very sad or in some kind of emotional turmoil, that they have not resolved something in their life when they were alive, but still carrying on into their death. After they're they've died.
Is it your view, and I'll ask you both this, that when people die, they know they're dead right away? Or is it something that occurs to them after a period of time?
I do not believe that many people realize they are dead when they die. Just because of people that I have spoken to that have died, clinically been pronounced dead and have been revived back, they said that they did not realize they had died.
All right. I want to add to this that you can supplement what you're going to hear tonight by going to the website, which is, I believe, ghostpicks.com.
Correct. Correct, yeah.
Spell that out for everybody.
It's ghostpix.com.
Okay, and on there you've got not only recordings, but you've got photographs and video as well, correct?
Yep, and we're actually just now, we've just completely redesigned and revamped the site, so it should be a lot easier to navigate for everybody.
All right. Again, they don't make money doing this, folks. Their motives, I believe, are absolutely pure. Their methods, I think, are... Let's see, what's the right word for that? Your methods, I would call them also pure, I guess. In other words, there's nothing on these various devices that you use for recording that would somehow be left over. We're not hearing an echo of something that had been previously recorded, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. With all of that in mind, let's do one. Let's give them a little taste here. Number one is?
All right. This first one is from Virginia City in Nevada, which I'm sure you know where that's at.
Oh, yes.
There's a house there. It's actually a hotel now called the Brewery Lodge, built in, I believe, 1820, something like that. We actually did an overnight investigation in this house and had some interesting happening.
Okay, as a matter of fact, I guess we're going to get about 6 recordings that were done at this Brewery Lodge.
Actually, there's two.
Two? Oh, I'm sorry?
Yeah, there's two from this one.
Oh, and then we go to a mausoleum, I see.
There you go.
Okay, so two at the Brewery Lodge. This was just a lodge, or was it actually a brewery?
No,
it was a brewery at one time, originally. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's part of the Gold Heel Hotel now that they've incorporated this brewery into their hotel staying. But the lodge they've made it into like a guest house where a number of people can rent it out and stay. It sleeps quite a few people.
Okay, why did you go here?
There had been, we had had reports, people emailing into us saying that they had stayed there and they had seen things. And so obviously, you know, if we get enough reports about a certain location, we will call the place if they haven't contacted us saying, hey, you know, we've had these reports. Would you mind if we come out and look at it?
All right. We're not going to have enough time. So tonight we're going to go to a brewery lodge, and then a mausoleum, a deer lodge, an exchange, whatever that is, a witch's house, and then I guess a mortician's. So you can see the kind of places that these two pick. I've asked this before, and there's no real reason to, for example, go to a cemetery, though One can readily expect that in a cemetery you would encounter those who have passed on. In a moment, we'll begin. My guests are Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth. They comprise a GIS. And in a moment, we're going to launch into voices from the other side. Some of what you're about to hear is going to freak you out. I really would be interested in what some of you conclude it is you're hearing. Feel free to email me, artbell@mindspring.com, artbell@aol.com. After the program, I'd like to know what you conclude from what you're about to hear. And so it begins. To the Brewery Lodge. And number one, what are we about to hear, folks?
All right. Well, in this clip, you're going to hear Barbara saying, "If you can speak, will you speak so I can hear you?" Now, this was actually recorded on an analog recorder. And what's interesting is originally we thought that this kid's voice says Brian. And the more we've listened to it, it sounds like he says mother. And it's almost like he's referring to Barbara as mother.
Hmm. All right, here we go.
If you can speak, will you speak so I can hear you?
I don't know. That one sounds, I'd go with Brian myself. But what
I've
was
always thought it sounded like Brendan.
All right. One more time.
If you can speak, will you speak so I can hear you?
Brian, it sure sounds like Brian to me, but maybe it's because I'm looking at what it was supposed to be, but it really sounded like Brian. That was very short. Now, a lot of EVPs, most of them are pretty short, aren't they?
Yes.
But occasionally, you'll get as much as a whole sentence?
Oh, yeah. In fact, there's one voice tonight. It's actually, it's a few voices. The whole thing lasts about 50 seconds to a minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so.
Okay, well, we're staying with the Brewery Lodge, and let's go on to number two.
Okay, you're going to hear a woman ask, "Are you alone?" And then you'll hear Brendan saying, "It's acting weird," and he was referring to the EMF detector.
Oh, wait a minute. What EMF detector?
It's an electromagnetic field detector. It's something that we do use when we go out to try and see, if nothing else, if EVP correlates to spikes in the EMF.
And it did?
No. Well, I mean, it did at the time, but I believe what was going on at the time was actually wiring in the house. When we were going through the house more and realized that a lot of the spikes on the EMF were coming towards the walls and things like that. So I really don't think the EMF going off like this was in relation to this EVP at all.
All right, well, here it is.
Are you alone?
It's acting weird.
Are you alone? Are you alone?
Yeah, well, you know, that's really clear. I mean, that there's nothing strange or unusual about that. That sounds like, I mean, you're absolutely sure that there was no woman there? That sounds like somebody in the room.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't me, and it wasn't Jenny. That's the other female member of the GIS.
Right. And you're sure of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And what's so odd is there are some voices that are so very, very clear. It sounds like they're right next to you.
Yeah, this was one of them.
Yeah, yeah. And there's others that are just so, I mean, they're almost buried in the static. And then that's something else we should have mentioned at the beginning is, you know, what we're playing tonight are, you know, what they call a Class A EVP. These are, you know, you can hear them. You know there's something there.
Top of the line, it should be mentioned, you guys spent hours and hours and hours going over recordings to come up with these very short little things, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. And there's certainly things that we couldn't play, you know, because either somebody is talking during the time that the EVP comes in, so it's just too hard to decipher.
Right.
It's too low, you know. I mean, that happens quite a bit.
Do you ever hear it audibly?
Yes, sometimes.
I mean, this one, for example, it sounded like this was just a woman, you know, in range of the mic. Let me do it one more time. Here it is, one more time.
Are you alone?
That didn't work.
Are you alone? Are you alone?
Remember... Remember now, they don't get these until later. They're not hearing them as they occur. Is that right?
That's correct.
So,
honestly, I would have started talking to this woman had I heard it.
Yeah, that was so clear. All right, on to the mausoleum. Now, how much value is there going to mausoleums, graveyards, areas where obviously bodies are buried and one might expect... you know, versus, I don't know, somebody's house or whatever.
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I kind of think that, you know, maybe spirits tend to stay around their body for some time after they've passed on. I would hate to think that's the case, but it almost seems that's what's going on, so...
And we also go to locations that have reported haunting activity.
Oh. All right, so this is a mausoleum where?
It's in Utah. That's
in Utah.
Pretty much all we can say about that.
Okay. We don't need to identify it beyond that. The first one in the mausoleum then?
All right. Now this one, you're going to hear me say, all right, let's go see if Barb's upstairs. And of course, I'm in the basement of the mausoleum.
Right.
Talking to another member, and we had thought we heard something upstairs at the time, so we wanted to see if it was Barbara making this noise. And then you're going to hear a kid say, I can't see.
Oh, these worry me. Here we go.
All right,
yeah. You know, those, more than any other, the children really freak me out. And it does sound like that child is saying, I can't see. I can't see, and you don't want to imagine that on the other side.
Not at all. I mean, it goes back to what I said earlier. It's not so much creeped out as emotionally
disturbing.
Yes, yeah. You just, it's hard to deal with at times.
Okay, I'm going to play this again. Listen very carefully, everybody. It does really sound like a child saying, I can't see.
All right,
it really does sound like I can't see. And it sounded like a child. Again, folks, we're not, you know, that's why I want you to send me an email and tell me what you conclude from hearing these yourself. Do you conclude that it's just the nature of the other side and children as adults go to the other side and there's a period of time when they just don't know what's going on, don't even know they're dead, or... But it sounds like it's dark wherever this child is. All right, on to the next one, number four.
Well, on this one, you're going to hear me telling a person that was with me to watch their step. You can hear us going down the stairs to the basement of the mausoleum. And you're going to hear a man's voice. It kind of sounds like he's down in the basement of the mausoleum saying, go.
Go?
Go.
Go, as in... Get out of here?
Yes, and leave.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
Watch your step here.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like go. And it really sounds as though whatever it is telling you to get out. You have had EVPs actually tell you to get out.
Yes.
Yeah. So, go. How is it when you hear something like this, which is obviously an invitation for you to exit?
Yeah. Well, when we hear something like go, we just go back. It's, you know.
You go back.
Yep. It's, I mean, there's something there, so it's worth going back to check it out.
Uh-huh. How many people were with you while you were doing these particular ones in the mausoleum? It was three of you?
This was over a couple different investigations. It wasn't just one.
Okay.
But the majority of the time, there's only five of us.
Okay, listen again, everybody. Very clearly, go.
Doctor, stay up here.
That one has kind of a pleading sound to it. More. I've heard anger in other ones, and get out, and worse. But this one has more of a kind of a pleading sound to it. Would you agree with that?
Yes. He's not demanding.
Right.
It's more like he's asking us to go.
Yes. All right. I'd be going, but not you all. You go back. So you will typically take these recordings from, for example, the mausoleum, and take them home, and do you usually listen right away, or do days go by and then you get together and listen to them, or what?
It depends. If we get home really late from an investigation, I don't feel like spending another 2 hours re-listening
right.
to the, you know, recording. So if it's pretty late, we and it usually is, we will wait until the next day.
Uh-huh. Is it like a committee? Do you all sit down and listen, or do you? Does one of you pick them out and then sort of play them for everybody?
No, we all listen, you know, because all of us record, all five of us, and we all listen to our own recordings, and then, you know, we pick out what we hear, and then once we do hear something, we let everybody else hear it. They all, you know, think, you know, figure out what it's saying.
Put in our two cents.
Yeah.
How often does more than one recording device pick up the same EVP?
It really is not very often, and the reason is we're normally not next to each other.
Right.
The one case I can think of just off the top of my head, in Rowland's prison in Wyoming, all five of us were in the death house, and we were all recording. The death house is a very, very small area, and there was a very loud get out. That came from, just sound like a gruff old man, and all five people recorded that voice.
And also on the video camera, it picked it up.
Right. So it does happen if we're all next to each other, but we try to spread out and cover as much of the area as we can.
Okay. Still in the mausoleum, here comes number five. What about this one?
Okay, now this one, this is one of our newer ones. It was recorded with the condenser mic, so the quality is going to be completely different. You have to keep in mind, though, this is a mausoleum, so it's very loud and echoey and has marble, you know, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're going to hear is Barbara saying, "We invite anyone to speak with us. Would you like to know, or we'd like to know your name and have you talk with us and introduce yourself? I'm Barbara." And right after that, you're going to hear the door shut, because Barbara was walking out of the mausoleum at this time. We were just leaving our equipment inside to record.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was in the mausoleum, and all of a sudden, after the door shuts, you're going to hear, it sounds like children laughing.
Well, let's see. Here we go.
We invite anyone to speak with us. We invite you to tell your name and talk with us, and you introduce yourself. I'm Barbara.
Okay, well, at least they're laughing in this one. How nice that is.
Yeah.
Now,
there was nobody in the mausoleum at that time.
All right, now here's something else. The laughing had the same echoey acoustic sound to it that your voice did.
Yes.
Which sort of, in a way, it puzzles me, because most of the time these are not audible. These are not heard, and, you know, as they're recorded, they just show up on the recordings, correct?
Correct.
So it's kind of strange that it has the same...
Yes, but, you know, when we have recorded voices in that location, most of the time they have also always been echoey.
Right.
like our voices when we're speaking inside there.
All right, here it is again. This is, again, Barbara's voice says, we invite anyone to speak with us. We'd like to know your name and talk with us and introduce yourself. I'm Barbara, and then you get the laughing. Listen carefully.
We invite you to speak with us.
It's nice to hear laughing for a change. It really is. And again, it had that same acoustic quality to it, so that's really fascinating.
What is interesting is, keep in mind, we were all out of the mausoleum at this time when that was recorded, so it's possible we could have heard it had we been in there.
That's true.
You know, it's possible we wouldn't have, because it's, you know, very rarely do we hear it.
This next one also apparently recorded in the mausoleum, and it says, Brendan falling down stairs. Now, I remember this, I think, from a previous program, yes?
Yeah. This is, for some reason, Barbara's favorite clip.
Really?
I love it. The thing I love the most is how the concern in this lady's voice comes through for Brendan. I mean, when she asks him if he's okay, you can really tell that she's concerned about him.
And you were nowhere. Where were you during this, Barbara?
I was probably upstairs.
Yeah. Basically, what had happened is my flashlight went out as I was walking into the basement of the mausoleum.
Uh-huh.
And I figured I knew the mausoleum well enough that I could find the light switch without any light. Yeah. Well, you kind of find out that that didn't work out too well.
How many stairs did you fall down?
Oh, there was a good 10. It's been, this is hard marble staircase, so...
All right, here it comes.
Damn it!
There is concern in her voice, and here is evidence of a contemporary absolute response to something that just happened, right?
Exactly. So how, you know, when you hear things like that, how is that a baby monitor or radio transmission or anything like that?
It's not.
Just so low.
It's not. I suppose somebody might suggest, oh, well, it's Barbara or somebody with you asking if you're okay. Obviously following, that was quite a tumble. Did you come out of that all right?
I felt it for a few days after that, I can be honest.
I can imagine. Here it comes again. Ouch.
Damn it.
All right. Yeah. Now, her voice in the... We do three... What is it? Two or three replays afterwards of just the EVP voice, and it's a little bit... It's a little easier to hear. So you do what? You process the audio a little bit?
Yeah, on the last on the first cut where you have context with the voice, we don't do anything. It is straight. On the last two loops, we will amplify it a bit just so you can kind of hear what you just heard.
All right. People are always curious. What kind of processing do you do to clear up the voice? Do you take away some of the background noise? Do you use audio processing as such, or what?
There was times where we did. We don't so much do it anymore, especially now that we're in the digital and the condenser mic. You just don't need to do it. I mean, there's just no reason. We used to with the analog recordings. We had to, you know, there was tape noise and hiss and motor noise and, you know.
Sure.
We had to take that out, but no, we don't do it so much anymore.
All right. Well, we're leaving the mausoleum, and when we return, we're going to go to a deer lodge for a while. Lots of very interesting voices. These are voices, if you will, from the other side. Life after death? You answer the question for us.